concept of generating functions or generating functions. And one that Freddy said that people like to consider is this ratio between color ordered next to MHV, next to MHV amplitude with n points, and color ordered MHV amplitudes with n points. So I think Freddy's notation for this was Pn1, right? And this was a function of what? It was a function of the momentum twisters Zi, where this I runs from 1 to n. And it was a function of some Grassmannian variables, eta. Freddy used some eta tildes, which were some Grassmannian variables. I'm using just eta. Those etas are not the same as his eta tildes. They are linear combinations, and you will hear more about them in at least Radu and Jake's lectures later. So for now, this will be mostly about Mathematica, so I don't care much about these details. There was an R charge index, I, that runs from 1 to 4. And there was, again, this small index, I, that runs from 1 to n. And for this amplitude, this guy is a polynomial of degree 4. Right? So it is something like, so for example, there will be a term which will be eta, for example, 2, eta 2, eta 5, eta 6, for example, with some R charge index. It must be, we can put them always to be 1, 2, 3, 4. And from now on, I will sometimes not write the R charge index because I always assume that it's always 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a singlet. And it's always implicit that when I write 4 etas, the first is 1, the second is 2, the third is 3, the fourth is 4. Times what I would call an amplitude, let me call it R 2256 plus dot dot dot. So this is what we normally call a component of this generating functional. So all the amplitudes are packed together, and this R, which is just a function of the momentum twister, Zi, not of the etas anymore, is what is called a component. So our goal is to look at some polynomial of the Grassmannians and extract the components to get the different amplitudes. Now, we have seen that the amplitudes are really beautiful for MHV amplitudes. Actually, they are equally nice for next to MHV. So let me write how this polynomial looks like for next to MHV amplitude. It's really nice. So it is given by one way of writing this general amplitude for any for a generic n, so n enters here, n is the number of particles, goes up to n minus 1. This sum starts at I plus 2. There is a nested sum. This j is bigger than, n minus 2 here. This j is bigger than I. And then there is an object which is a 5 bracket. As Freddy said, there's not much imagination in this, so we always use more or less the same letters. So it's a square bracket with 5 arguments. And what is a square bracket with 5 arguments? A, B, C, D, E. It's given by these 4 brackets of twisters, so A, B, C, D. So you recall that this from Freddy's lecture was this contracted with epsilon symbol. There is the determinant of the matrix made out of ZA, ZB, ZC, ZD. So each of these guys is a 4 vector, so you put them in a determinant, you make a matrix 4 by 4, you compute the determinant. This is the fundamental building block. And then you write A, B, C, D, and then you write all cyclic combinations, B, C, D, E, C, D, E, A, D, E, A, B, and I have one missing, times E, A, B, C. Okay, so we have these 5 guys, and here you write the following. You write a delta function, a fermionic delta function, 0/4, A, B, C, D times eta, E, I plus the other five ones plus cyclic. Where, what is this delta function? I said this is just a polynomial, and indeed Grassmannian delta functions are just polynomials. So a delta function of some fermionic thing with some index I is nothing but the product of the four components, Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. So you see it's just a polynomial of degree 4 in these Grassmannian variables. Okay? So you see it's really a compact expression. So for any next to MHV amplitude is just given by this times the MHV. Because remember that we are computing the ratio because it's convenient between next to MHV and the MHV amplitudes. Okay? So let's work out an example to see how does this work. And then the goal is to implement the general extraction of components for any n and any component in Mathematica. So let's work out an example. Let's consider this particular component. So R, this component 2, 2, 5, 6. So we put an eta on like 2, on like 2, put two etas on like 2, one eta on like 5, one eta on like 6. We want to pick this one out of that polynomial there. And let's do n equal to 6. So when you do that, you see that this polynomial, this Pn1, so P is now 6, 1, just for 6 particles, is just a sum of 3 terms. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, plus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, plus 1, 3, 4, 5, 6. You see, you sum over this JJ plus 1 is bigger than I, and you sum over the possible ways. So you have only these 3 terms for that sum. Now, the first thing you notice is that you want to extract a component. Recall, you want to extract a component eta 2, eta 2, eta 5, eta 6. So, for example, this R invariant cannot contribute because it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It does not have 6. So when I write this Grassmannian delta function here, there is no eta 6 there. So I cannot pick this component from these guys. So if I want, out of this guy, if I want to restrict to the component 2, 2, 5, 6, so I restrict every one of them, I just pick the coefficient 2, 2, 5, 6, 2, 2, 5, 6 of this guy, 2, 2, 5, 6 of this guy. This one has no 6. And because it has no 6, this guy gives 0, doesn't contribute. This one has no 2. The problem with this one is that there is no 2. So this one gives me 0. And this one, it has a 2, a 5, and a 6. So this one will give me something. So let's compute this something. So I'm preparing the ground for Mathematica. So in Mathematica, what we will do is, first we write this object. And then we will create a function that first of all tells me that this guy, this guy, this guy don't contribute. So don't even worry about them. And then let's focus on the ones that contribute. And let's extract the etas out of those. So let's compute this one that contributes. So let's compute out of this bracket. Can you read in yellow? So let's compute out of this component 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, the component 2, 2, 5, 6. Okay? So what is this? So it's very simple. So first of all, so this bracket contains this big denominator. So let's write the denominator here. Actually, let me do it immediately in a way that it will be very close to the way we will implement it in Mathematica. Or no, not yet, sorry. So let's write that denominator. So we have 1, so, okay. 1, 2, 3, 5, then 2, 3, 5, 6, and so on. There are three more terms. Okay? And then we want to pick component eta 2. So eta 2 will come in this expression. There is indeed an eta 2, 1. So the R charge index is 1. Eta 2, 1 multiplied by the bracket of the other guys. 3, 5, 6, 1. Plus, tak, tak, tak. So this guy, I'm looking now at the first Q. Now I move to the second Q, and I want again a 2. So I want again to pick eta 2, the guy number 2, times the same thing. 3, 5, 6, 1. Then, the third component, which is here, I want a 5. So I want to pick eta 5, the number 3, times, so I pick the 5, it's the cyclic order, 6, 1, 2, 3. And then, finally, for the last one, I want the number eta 6, so I pick 6, so I have 1, 2, 3, 5. So eta 6, number 4, and I have 1, 2, 3, 5, plus the other four terms, but only those contribute. So only these guys contribute. I want the component 2, 2, 5, 6 of this, which is just the product of these guys. So it is just 3, 5, 6, 1 times 3, 5, 6, 1 again, times 6, 1, 2, 3 again, times 1, 2, 3, 5 over this product of these five guys. Okay? So, what do we do? So given, for a given R invariant, there is a very, the way we will extract the components is as follows. First, we create a list of five very useful momentum twisters. What are these five? They are the five guys that appear here, and that they also appear here. This one and the other four guys here. So, for a given guy here, we create a list which is a sequence of these brackets where we do, for example, in this case, I will do this 2, 3, 5, 6, the first element, the second element, 3, 5, 6, 1, then the next element, 5, 6, 1, 2, the other one, 6, 1, 2, 3. You see, I just cyclically rotate, and then I missed one. 1, 2, 3, 5. Okay? So I pick this list. And then, what did I do then? What is this? This here, the denominator, is just the product over the elements of the list. So this will be simple. So given an R invariant, we will create this list and multiply all the elements. Okay? So this will be very clear how to do. How to select this guy? So what is this guy? This guy is the list, and then it's the second element. So in mathematics, to extract the second element of a list, we use these two double brackets. This is the second element of the list. What about this one? Oh, it's the same. It is just list. Second element of the list. Too many. What about this? 6, 1, 2, 3. 6, 1, 2, 3 is the fourth element of the list. This is list, fourth element. And this is list, last element, or 5, number 5. Okay? What are these numbers? 2, 2, 4, and 5. 2, 2, 4, and 5 are the positions of these 2, 2, 5, and 6 here. So you see that in this bracket, 2 appears in the second position. So these 2 appears in the second place in this bracket here. These 2, again, the same story, appears in the second place. This 5 here appears in the fourth place. And this 6 appears in the fifth place. Okay? So now it's clear how to do. So you give me a bracket. You give me a bracket with some guys. and some components, and I just look at which position they appear, and which tells me which element of the list I should multiply up here. Okay? So please tell me whether this argument is, whether everything is completely clear, because now the goal is to implement, how to implement this in Mathematica, to do it with Mathematica instead of doing by hand. So this is the time to complain if something is not clear. So please think if everything is okay while I set up the computer. Sorry? No, it's easy to see that it's the that this is the correct thing to do. So, because the way I'm putting the list, what is this element here? This is the element which I obtain by rotating by one unit. So I fit the two there. And this is the element I obtain by rotating by two units. So I fit the three there. So these elements are correlated by how many times I rotate. And therefore, by picking the position, automatically it will work. Okay? So again, there are three steps in this construction. First, we should detect which R invariants can contribute for a given component. Then, we should, for each, for the R invariants that contribute, for each of them, we create a list. The third step, we pick the list and we construct this fraction here, where I multiply these list elements and I divide by the product of all the list elements. Okay. Mathematica is in the screen. Good. So, let's then try to implement this. And I'll try to implement this in the way I did, which now after Jake's lecture, I learned that some things I could have done a bit better. For example, using some patterns of permutation, some options of permutations. So let's first do it the way I did it first, and then let's try at the end to make the code even nicer by using some of the options of permutations. Okay, very good. So first thing I do, let me change the zoom to 150 so that it's easier to read. And let me, want something nice, we can go to format, style sheet, and choose some nice style sheet in creative. There is this natural color. Now this becomes nicer. And we can start by typing. So what are we going to do? We are going to be extracting NMHV components. Now what I can do is I can select this cell, go here to cell, convert to, no, I always confuse, format, style, and I can choose a style, title, subtitle, subtitle, section, and so on. A faster way to do it is to select the cell and use the corresponding shortcut. In Mathematica, you see, to make a title is command 1. And by clicking there or by using the shortcut, this becomes a title. So, okay, so this is about extracting NMHV components. We can create this title. And our goal is to be able to run something like next to MHV, 3, 6, and component 2, 2, 5, 6, we want to be able to run it and obtain I know what's going on. Okay, good. And obtain not this, but something else. But because it's just one term, but this is because I have something in the memory, this is also okay. We will see soon. Okay. But our goal is to be able to do something like this. Pick the component 2256 of the 6-point next to MHV amplitude and get some result. So let's first start by implementing this generating functional. So we say that we sum. We have some function, let's call it R, 1i, I plus 1, j, j plus 1. Okay, and we sum from I going to 2 up to n minus 2, and j going from I plus 2 and up to n minus 1. Okay? So this is basically giving us this sum here. And then out of each r, I don't want the r, I want the component b of that r. So let me define nmhv 3 for a given n. You see, I use this underscore because I want to n to be whatever I will tell Mathematica to be. Then I will have B. Let me do something wrong and then correct it. And I put this delayed evaluation, because only when I tell her what is B, she should be able to run this. Now, this will not work, because now I will ask, what is NMHB? 3 for 6 points, and then 2, 2, 5, 6. Okay. I should quit the kernel, of course. So let's quit the kernel. So this will not work, because now I run this. So the first time it runs, as Jake explained, it has to initiate the kernel. It takes a while. The second time it's faster, and nothing happens. Why is that? Because Mathematica is waiting for B here with a single underscore. So she knows that it should be a single object. But here, we have 4 entries. So we must tell Mathematica that she should expect 1 or more arguments. So what we will do is we'll put 2 underscores, and with 2 underscores, Mathematica knows that more than one argument is okay. And now, when I run 2, 2, 5, 6, it tells me it's the component 2, 2, 5, 6 of this guy that we know is 0, plus the component 2, 2, 5, 6 of this guy, which we know is not 0, is what we computed, plus the component 2, 2, 5, 6 of this guy, which we know is 0. Okay? Good. So now let's create a function that computes what is the component B of some invariant. These are called an R invariant, A. So A will be, for example, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, what we computed there. And B will be, for example, 2, 2, 5, 6, what we did there. So what is this? First, let's do it in, we want to do the following. We want to say, now let's write, if no elements, let me write just for you. If no elements, so how do I want to write? If A does not contain all elements in B, if A contains all elements in B, then let's extract it. Otherwise, zero. So the first thing to do is to check, does this guy contain all the ethos that I want to extract? If not, give me zero immediately. Don't even try. Otherwise, let's go to that blackboard and try to extract it. Okay? So first step is to check, is to implement this first part. So let's work with this part here. Okay? So what we want to know? We want to know, for example, let's work on our example. And let's see, our example was 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. And we want to ask, is 2 a member of these guys? So we ask member Q of this. And Mathematica tells me it's true. Indeed, 2 belongs to this list, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. The other guy that I wanted to ask, the second ito, was also 2, and it still belongs. The next one was 5, it does belong. And the next one was 6, it does belong. So now what I would like is somehow to ask, are all of this state for a given component, I'm giving this 2, 2, 5, 6. And then I want to check that all of them belong to this group here. Okay. So this is a good time. If you want to apply something to a list, it's a good time to know what this does. So does someone know what this is? This is apply. So if I will run this, and if you have your laptop, you might want to run this, what it does is it picks F, and it applies F of 1, F of 2, F of 3, and F of 4. It distributes F in this list. So this is more or less what we want. We want a function that checks if this guy is a member of this list, and then we want to apply that function to all the guys in a given component. So let's create our own function. So to create a function, there are several ways. For example, let's create a function f, the standard way that Jake explained, f of x. Let me show you a couple of ways to define a function. F of x, for example, can be rationalize of x, for example. A function that picks something and rationalizes it. So if I have f of 0.2, it should give me 1/5. And indeed it does. Notice, very important, that if I define this function, g of x, without this, what will she do? She will first rationalize x without knowing what x is, and then it's x. And now g of x is just x. So if I run g of 0.2, it is just 0.2. Because first, she rationalized x, and x is just a variable. There's nothing to rationalize. It's just x. And now g of x is just x. It's just the most stupid function that does nothing. Okay? So now g of 0.2 is 0.2, of course. Okay, good. This is one way of defining a function. There are other ways which are nice to define a function. One is to say f is the function. So let me first clear it. Clear all f. This is to clear the definition of f. F could be the function that rationalizes. Okay, this actually this would work, for example. Just f equal to rationalize. And then when I apply f equal to 0.2, she knows that f is rationalized of 0.2. Another way to do it is to say that, for example, suppose I want a function which is a bit more complicated. Let me again clear f. Which does the following. Rationalizes, okay, but also gives the previous value and creates a list with the rationalized value and the value. So again, let's do it in a couple of ways. So one way is by doing this. And now if I run f of 0.2, it gives me the rationalized value and the value prior to rationalization. Another way to do it, let's call this guy f1, this guy f2. Another way to do it is to say that f of x, for example, another nice way is to say x, then escape, fn escape, is this. It's the function that maps x into rationalize of x comma x. So if I do this, this also works. F2 of 0.2 gives one fifth and then 0.2. Yet another way that we can do, it's exactly equivalent, F3, we can say that it's the function rationalized, this is probably how mathematicians would prefer, rationalize, of the argument, and then the argument here. So it's a function, and this is how you do it. So you say this F3 is a function. The argument of the function is this symbol, this cardinal. This is the symbol, and this tells you the function is defined. Finish definition. And now, if I run f3 of 0.2, it also works. 1/5 0.2. Okay? All right, but it should be f3. Otherwise, it's not very honest. f3, it also works. Okay, very good. So these are the three ways. Now, something that you can do, which is quite nice, and it's particularly useful when you define this, it's maybe you only want to use this function once, and you feel a bit stupid calling it giving her a name to this function. So you want to apply immediately this to 0.2, but you will only do it once. So what you can do is, here you define this function, and now say, apply this function to 0.2. So you define it and use it immediately on the go. So here it is. You define and you apply it. And you did not save it first as some name and then applied it. You defined it and applied it immediately. By the way, another way of applying functions, instead of using this bracket, is by using this symbol at. This is exactly the same as that. It just applies it. Okay? So let's do what we want. We want a function, member q, which will go to the list 1, 3, 5, 6, and then we'll check if some guy is an element or not of this list. Here, I define this function. Is this clear or not? Yes? Is it clear for someone? Very good. Now, I will apply this list, I will distribute this list in this 2, 2, 5, 6. Now, what I've done is I generated, I apply it to 2, it's true. I apply it to 2, it's true. I apply it to 6, it's true. So I get 4 truths. Okay? If I would apply this to the component 2, 2, 4, 6, 4 is not there, I get true, true, false, true. Okay? Yes? Very good. So if I don't put slash, what will I do? I will apply this function to this list. So then I check, is this full element a member of this list? It's not. So let me maybe show you in a better example. So f slash dot 1, 2, 3, 4 is this. F applied to 1, 2, 3, 4 is F of this list. It's not F applied to the elements of the list. So you see there's an important difference. F applied to a list is function of list. F applied to list is function of each element of the list. Okay? So what we want to do is not this, but rather this one. Now, how does Mathematica see this expression? So now what we would like to do, so to ask Mathematica, how do you see this expression? We can ask for full form. And this does not, for Mathematica, this nice expression with brackets, this nice expression here, it is just a list of four truths. Okay? Now, what we want is to replace list by and, by the condition and. We want to say true and true and true and true. Right? So this is what we want. We want to check if all the components are there. So this first guy, list, is called the header of the expression. It's in the very beginning. So this is the header of the expression. So this list is the header. And to replace the header by something, we use the symbol. These two heads replaces the header of something by what we want. So before, let me show you another way of seeing how Mathematica sees an expression. Instead of full form, is tree form. And it gives this nice tree. For Mathematica, this is a list with true, 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 true. We would like to convert this into a list of and. We like to have something which is A and B and C and D. So all we want to do is, Mathematica, replace this list here, replace this header by and. But this is very simple. So if you have, say, some list, okay, and now you say, replace the header by and, this is how you do, now it becomes and. So now it's and A, B, C, D. So before it was list, and by doing this, Mathematica replaced list by and. Okay? So again, let's go back to what we have. So we have here our list of true, 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 true. And now we want to replace the header. Instead of list, we want and. And now I get just a single true, because I have and of true, 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 true. But if this would be a 4, I would have false. Okay? So let's go back to our construction of our amplitude. Yeah. Let's go back to our construction of our amplitude. And let's do, if A does not contain of elements in B. So what I want to put here is what? It's what we just discussed. So here I want member Q. I want to check if elements of A, okay, I'm just redoing what we did, applied to B. So A was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. A was 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. B was 2, 2, 5, 6. And we want to apply and to this. Okay? So for now, let's just say that let's escape, go R, escape, some nice R of A and B. Of A, comma B. Just to indicate what we have done. So now, by having these two lines, you see in Mathematica, if the given R invariant does not contribute, it is set to 0. So now, next to MHV6, 2256, it's already the relevant R invariant component 2256. Okay? So please tell me whether this is clear. So this was the first part of the construction. So what this part does in blue is it does what we did by hand here. It tells that this guy and this guy are 0, and this one is not 0. Okay? It checks whether 2256, if all of them are present or not in the string A. Is this clear? Some doubt, some question? Okay. Now, I'm going to erase everything. It's always good to have clean notebooks. And now we want to learn how to extract this component here. So the first thing to do is to generate a list. For example, in our case, the list, let's do it first, will be 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. Let's work on this example. Okay? And then, out of this list, let me generate this list instead of using, this is one possibility. So how does Mathematica see this? List, let's ask tree form. It is list with 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. But I prefer, instead of using these brackets, because to use this following bracket, scape, smaller scape, and I use immediately this nice bracket. Scape, bigger scape. Okay? And now, when I have list of tree form, it's exactly the same thing. For Mathematica, it's the same thing, but instead of list, now the header is angle bracket. So I can immediately start with this, because then the output will become nicer at some point. So now what do we want to do? So let me do it the stupid way, and then let's do it the way Jake told us how to do. The stupid way would be the following. We take list, and we can rotate all the elements of list by one unit. Rotate L by one unit. We get this, 2, 3, 5, 6. We can rotate by two units, and we get 3, 6, 5, 1. And you see, the first four elements of these guys are the first four elements here, are this guy and this guy. Okay? So what I want to do now is pick the first four elements of those two. So how do I extract elements out of some list? So how do we extract? Remember, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, or with angle brackets. I can do immediately with angle brackets. To extract the component number 1 or number 2, I use this, bracket, bracket, 2, as I said. And this gives 2. To extract the component 3, to extract a component, let's extract a component 4. Another way to do it is to click escape, and then escape again, and it becomes nicer. They become smaller, you see? So all I did was I clicked escape before and after these two brackets. And now, you see the fourth element is 5 in both cases. And if I want to extract components 1 to 4, I use this notation. So this gives me the bracket 1, 2, 3, 5. Okay? So what we want to do here is when we rotate left, and then we pick elements 1 to 4. So this was the first guy. And we want to make a table of such guys. So this is exactly what Jake told us, that we should not be using these tables, but rather using the options. But let's do it anyway. And now we just generated, so we did this, for J equal to 1 up to 5. We rotated by 1 unit, 2 units, 3 units, 4 units, 5 units, and then took the first 4 components. So this is perfect. This is exactly what we wanted. So this is what we call list. Okay? So let's call this list. So let's say that this is our A, and then by list we mean this. Okay? So we created a list. By rotating left, we pick what we start, which is the argument of the R invariant. We rotate and we pick 4 components. Then what do we do? So let's first think about the denominator. So there, it's just the product of the elements of the list. So how does Mathematica see this list again? Mathematica sees this as list of angle brackets of 2, 3, 5, 6. Then list the second element of another angle bracket of 3, 5, 6, 1, and then so on. I want to replace this list by products, right? Which in Mathematica is times. So what I want to do is go here and say, instead of list, put times and apply that to list. And it's done. Okay? Nice. What about extracting components? So we said that we should pick there list number 2. Let's list number 2, list number 4, and list number 5. This is what is in the blackboard. And indeed, this gives exactly the square brackets that we should pick in the blackboard. Now, what are these 2, 2, 4, and 5, as we said? So what is the 2? The 2 is the position. We said it's the position. In which position? We put here AA. Remember that AA is this. In which position is element 2? And 2, sorry, I'm doing something wrong. Sorry. AA has no bracket, of course, sorry. So AA is already, as we said, let's see. I want to know where is 2. 2 is in position 2. So I say where in AA is 2 in position 2. Where in AA is the other 2 in position 2, of course? Where is it 5 in position 4? And where is 6? It's in position 5. So this 2, 2, 4, 5 is nothing but the positions of these elements of the components. So instead of these 2, 5, good, great. Instead of these 2, I would like to have this position. Now, this position gives me these ugly brackets, so I need to remove them. So this is a list of lists. So what is the first element of this list? Let me use this escape. It just removes the bracket. It's just the list with 2. But I also don't want the bracket. So what is the first element in this new list? It's just 2. Okay? So I'm just putting these extracting components to get rid of these ugly brackets. So now let me do it at once, and then we try to see if we understand. So what I want here is list, and the position is what? It's position in A of this 2, 2, 5, 6 element number J of this guy. Oops. Okay. Now this position, this is wrong. Position is just this. Position of AA of each of these guys. I will then, J will be 1, 2, 3, or 4. Then I have to put 1, 1 to get rid of those ugly brackets. And that's it. This is the number. This will give this 2, 2, 4, and 5. And now I just do product from J up to 4. Okay? Now if I do this, I get a good result. Okay? Is it clear? Yes? So let's recapitulate. So what we want is the following. For a given A, we create a list which is just angle bracket with A. Okay? Then we do the following. We compute the ratio. So let's use this shortcut, control fraction, to create a ratio. And down here, let's put times applied to this list. And up here, we put just this product that we just wrote here. Oops. I know, it's okay. Where here, instead of this stuff, we put B. And this A is just A. And that's it. And if you want this to look nicer, you can select this cell, go here, cell, convert to, and put traditional standard form display. No, standard form here. It's already in standard form, but if you click again, it somehow becomes not... It's because I have some... Okay. It's because this is not properly formatted. Okay. Sorry. So let me do that. I select the cell, and I go there, or I use the shortcut, and it becomes nicer. It becomes just product here. From J equal to 1 up to 4 of this stuff. And I want this list to be defined, but I don't want Mathematica to store the value. So I create a block, and I define list to be this. I did something wrong. Sorry, list is not this. List is this table here. Right? List is this list of 5 guys. Okay? And then I compute this. So let's put everything together and then we decode. So all we have to do is instead of this guy, we put this. So please see with me if it makes sense. Tack, 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 tack. Again, I can also make this cell look nice. Zoom 200 is a bit too much. 150 is enough. So this should be it. So this should work. Now if I export is this component. No. Oh, sorry. Position. Yeah. Good. And this works. It is exactly the component that we computed. So if you cancel out the brackets from the example that we did, you get exactly this. So let's erase everything, and let me explain once again what we did. So here we say that R, A, component B, so let me zoom to 200 again. So you see, this is the code. This is all you need. It's just these 2 lines, and now you can extract any component. 2, 2, 2, 6, for example, is this. 2, 2, 2, 3, for example, is the sum of these 2 terms, and now you extract any enemy tree component. So what have we done? We said that there is a pointer here somewhere. Yeah. So first we say that this R is a sum, a nested sum of R, 1, I plus 1, J, J plus 1, component B. What is that R of A component B? So we have RA with two underscores, B with two underscores. Because A and B will be something like, A will be something like 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. It will be something with five elements. And B will be something like 2, 2, 2, 3 with four elements. And then what is this? First we check that all elements of B are in A. If not, zero. Otherwise, here is what we do. We block to define a function list. That list, after you run it and you ask Mathematica, what is list? She does not know. So if I run this, I don't generate garbage. I ask, what is list? And list is not defined. Because I defined it inside a block. I blocked it. And after block, I said, let's define this. You see that there are some brackets here and here. So whenever I initiate something inside a block, it's just a way not to save this function for Mathematica, so that I don't save garbage. So what is this list? Pick A, pick these components, and rotate them by 1 unit, 2 units, 3 units, 4 units, or 5 units, and pick components 1 up to 4. So this is just generating this list here. It's exactly what we did. Once you have this list, do the following. Multiply all elements, so replace the header of this list by times, or multiply 4 of these brackets. Which ones? The ones that are correlated to where B, element number J, appears in A. So it's exactly this stuff. Second place, fourth place, fifth place, and so on. Okay? Any question? Yeah, I will put them, the notebook with the explanations of the several steps online now. So for the afternoon, people can use. So first, some comments. So what can we do with this expression? So first, where does this expression come from? This is also a school on scattering amplitudes, not only on Mathematica. This fell out of the sky. I just said this is the result. Now, one very nice way to derive this is to use a so-called CSW recursion relations, where you have some recursion relations. You sum over all possible ways of putting two three-level amplitudes together. And those ways of summing are exactly these two sums here. Yeah, let me go till 40. Let me go till 40. So, and then you get this sum, these brackets here. Now, and Dave Skinner, tomorrow night, will tell you exactly how to derive this formula. So together with this lecture, we have a completely self-contained way of extracting next to MHV components. Now, you remember that Freddy told you that the way CSW works is you put together two three-level amplitudes, and then you glue them together. But when gluing them together, the guy which is in the middle is not on shell. So we need some sort of trick to make the guy who is in the middle on shell. And to do this trick, typically what we have to do, not typically, what we have to do is to introduce some reference object. It's like you have some momentum which is not on shell, and you have to kick it a bit to make it on shell. And if you kick it a bit, always in the same way for all diagrams, at the end it does not matter how you put it on shell and it works. And this guy, this one, which you might have suspected it looks a bit fishy, it's exactly that. If instead of a one you would have used here a two, it would just in the derivation mean that you will use the different way of making this internal momentum on shell. So let me, one last thing, let's see what happens if instead of one we use two. Okay, so let's define a new formula. NMHV, where is it? NMHV3, 2, where we use the 2 here instead of a 1, okay? And now this sum, this I starts at 3, and this N goes up to N minus 3, and this goes, no, this goes a bit more. So N, and this goes up to N minus 1. Okay, just shift everyone. And now there's nothing I have to do. I just shifted this, and now I ask, let's compare, for example, this one. Let's call this temp 1 with temp 2, which would be the same using the second formula. Okay? And now, naively, they don't look the same. So I have temp 1 minus temp 2, and they look just a huge mess. They don't look the same. So are they the same or not? So one way to do it is to do as Jake said. Let's replace these guys by numbers to check if we get 0. Okay? In print, yes. Sorry? Ah, I have a 7 here. Very good. So let's replace 7 by 1. Did it become trivial? No, it's still not trivial, right? Yeah, good. So now these two guys should be the same. So let's do it. Let's check if they are the same on some numerical twisters. So again, I could use probably this. The way I'm going to do is I'm going to define ZA to be some. So let's do a function. We have a function random. So let me do it in a very stupid way. I have a function random. I just apply this function random to a range of four guys, and I get just four random numbers. ZA is this, and I do this for A equal 1 up to 6. And after doing, I rationalize. This is another way of applying a function. It's putting /, and I rationalize whatever with precision 10 to the minus 10. Okay? So now Z of 1 is just some fractional numbers. And Z of 4 is some fractional numbers. Just not to deal with integers, not to be worried. Right? It's the same. Okay? And now, let's try to check that this guy is 0. So let's have 0 here. And now let's say 0. And now let's do a replacement. Let's see. When you find angle brackets with something inside, two underscores, close, replace it. Let's do it wrong and then do it right. Let's do the usual replacement, not the delayed one, by determinant of what? So let's see. So when we have 1, 2, 3, 4, right? What do we want to do? We want to apply Z to each of them. And now we've got almost a matrix, right? But now we have this angle bracket outside. So we have this angle bracket we want to replace by list. So we replace this by list. Now I have a matrix. And now I can apply determinant to this matrix. And this is what the determinant is. So now, whenever we see a bracket, we replace it by that. Now, it doesn't work, because Mathematica tried to compute this before I tell her what is A. So I should tell, only try to compute that whenever you know what is A. And now you do, and you get 0. So indeed, this would involve some very non-trivial so-called Plucker identities to check that this is 0. We just replace by some number values, and we check that it works indeed. And one of the exercises that Dave is going to create is exactly to check independence of this reference guy on choosing different twisters. Okay? So one of the exercises in the afternoon is a continuation of this, going beyond next MHV and going to next square MHV. Okay. Thank you.
Perhaps this is not really relevant for any efficiency we will need to have, but in this place where we checked if the components of the B list are all present in the A list,
yes,
this looks quite well. Losing some efficiency.
Good. So this is exactly one place where you might think that probably there is an option of member Q that makes that avoids all this junk. I don't know. Is
like
there
junk? B is a subset of A, basically.
No, this would not work. So can you tell me what you want, what you have in mind? No, I don't think that will work. Just intersection will not work.
No, not intersection, but a subset. Yeah, because if we. Yes.
So is B a subset of A? Yes, yeah, that would work. So can we ask that mathematically in a simple way? Sorry? Sorry, complements of B. So let's try. So complement of 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 2, 2, 5. Empty. It's empty if it's a subset. So if I put here 4, let's see, I get into the 4. Okay, so another way of doing it, this would be to use. So let's do another way. So we could say complement here. Complement of B in A. So if this complement is empty, it's good. So if this is equal, and you see I use two equal because this is the test, to test, not to assign. So if complement of B in A is the empty set, then go. So this is another way instead of using this and. There are always several ways. And for example, this table, rotate left and so on, given what Jake explained, my guess is that you can do it in the following way. Let's try permutations. But so let's do permutations of 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, length 4, then probably not partitions. Let's see. This gives this, and then I want four of them. No. No. It's possible to do it with partition. It's a good exercise, but and this would avoid this ugly 1, 1. So again, this is one of the exercises. You have the code that works, and you are asked to make it even nicer. So you are free to play and to try to make it as fancy as possible.
What? Okay, let's go for lunch and then do full simplify after that. We are back in 1 hour.